Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning, folks. Bear with us here a little bit. As I told you yesterday, we've had a redo here in our studio. And Spencer's doing the best he can to try to get it up and going. I pray that you guys, I hope you guys hear me. Listening to y'all, it's kind of like I'm
in. Can you hear me, Coach? Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, I hear you, but it's like you're seven stories over here, right? I do hear you. So just bear with us here today, folks, as we work through these new changes. It's a lot better. Everything's good. But for some reason, maybe I just need to take out the headphones. We'll see how this works. We're not going to worry about it right here today. Lord, we just thank you for this day. It is the 16th day of July, 2026. You're not making another one. Just help us today. Glorify you in our lives. Run with patience the race that is set before us. You're the author and the finisher. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Okay, so I'm not going to be distracted by everything Spencer's working on over here. We thank Spencer doing the best he can. New system, all good. And as I tried to explain to you yesterday, a lot of times I'm not looking at you. I just got a lot going on here in this multi-million-dollar studio that I'm in. And it is what it is. Thumbs up. Most important thing is, can you hear me? Not because what I'm going to say is so important, but I'm the leader of the band here and where we're trying to go. So a couple things here as we jump. I got a good one today. Stay with me. I don't know if you guys know this or not, if you believe this or not. See, this thing pops. I hate technology. So you guys, the Holy Spirit speak to you guys? Does he? You know, we talked a little bit about that yesterday. Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. Another voice it will not hear. Now, hear means, as I said yesterday, you don't just hear it, you understand it. My sheep hear and understand my voice. Spins, just as you're doing that right now, sounds like there's a waterfalls in the background in my hearing. Just that we're doing good, but it's really kind of odd. So hear and obey. Hear and obey. Do you ever say that to your kid? My dad used to say to me, I ain't telling you no more. Meaning, are you hearing me? So the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice say, my sheep listen to my voice, and another voice they will not listen to, obey. My sheep obey my voice, and another voice they will not obey. So that's where we are with it. So let's get through this technical stuff in my brand new studio here. This weekend, Liberty Action Network get together on the screen right now, house to house, July 18th. Mel's trying to schedule these every weekend. Excuse me, not trying to. She is scheduling every weekend. It's a home gathering. It's a home fellowship. If you can make it, make it. If you can't make it, you can't make it. Is what it is. Don't feel obligated right now that you have to be there every weekend. But forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. So if you're in the Central Ohio area, we're going to be Mel's house to house. July 18th, 5 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Going to be good. Mel, do they need to bring any food? What do they need to do?
Usually we just bring like a dish to share. So, you know, but don't make that not have you show up. If you're a first time guest, you just come and be our guest. But if you'd like to bring something, we do like to share food together.
Awesome. Awesome. Hey, by the way, Spencer, I heard her very sharply, very clear. That was very clear. Very clear. So we're good there. We're good there. Okay. So, excuse me. And then another thing I want to encourage you about, Claudine, clear out and. Is she in New Hampshire? Is that where you are, Claudine? They're having an event out there October 23rd. That's not that far away. I mean, it's a few months away. New Hampshire, thanks.
Yes, I am. Thanks,
Okay. And folks, we're coming there. And we'd like to come to where you are. We'd like you to organize. We want to organize a team around you. Now look, whether you realize it or not, you're here. You're the leader. Or you're the organizer. At some point, all of us have to stop waiting on somebody else to do it. So I'm going to talk about today for the most part. So if you're out there, I know you're out there. Somebody say, daggone it, I'm going to step out of the boat and I'm going to organize an event. And Coach Dave and the huddle, we're coming to my town. And we're going to invite others in my town. Interestingly, again, Coach, you sing the same song over and over. Pastors don't come. Ray LeBlanc came to one. This one. Pastors don't come. I get it. It's a great place for pastors to come together. So, hey, we'll help you. We'll help you with the finances. We'll help you. You just find a time and a place down the road, and we are coming to your town. All right? Cool. Looking at my chart here. Look, I got, first of all, Steve Deck. Are you kidding me? Steve's still here. He's going home today. Spencer, that buzzing in my ear just quit. Whatever it was, I had this buzzing going. It's gone. So it's gone. Steve Deck's still here. He may be up now. I'm telling you, what that guy has done around at Sky High is unbelievable. Unbelievable. Never asked for a penny. He eats a lot of food. We feed him good. But he's still here, leaving this morning. I just pray blessings over Steve Deck for all the time and effort and energy he gives to Pass the Salt Ministries. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to. He gives money and he gives his time. And I just want publicly to say how much we appreciate it. I think Steve would probably tell you he's a servant in heart, found a place to plug in, and he's plugged in. So thank you, Steve. Appreciate it more than you know. It's amazing. You guys, some of you know where we live here. We got one. We have one big zero turn mower, and it quit working. That's to mow Sky High, my property, my one daughter's property, and four properties, big ones. And the mower didn't work. And Steve spent all morning yesterday. It was amazing to watch, figuring out why those mowers wouldn't work. And he got it working. Saved me probably $500 sending it into the shop and having them do it. So thanks, Steve. Man. So, hey, by the way, all the yards got mowed yesterday. Mine, Abby's, Maggie's, and Sky High all got mowed yesterday because Steve Deck stayed here and fixed that mow. Little things like that. Can I confess something to you? Of course I can. I'm whipped. Michelle and I are whipped. And we got up this morning. I love her so much. We get up this morning and we're both immediately at each other's throats. Not really, but anybody ever do that? Want to go? We've been gone for about going in action for about a month every day. Today we got to go up and clean Sky High. She has to go up and clean Sky High. It's a drag, man. It's a drag. Our marriage is not in trouble or anything like that, but worn out. All right. Bear with me today. A little bit worn out. Denny Bryan died. Pull that obituary up there, Spence, if you can. Most of you didn't know Denny. And I can't even remember really how we got the opportunity to meet him. We went out to Oskaloosa. Denny's been, he's been sick a while. I mean, he's been alive, but he's been sick a while. And then it just hit him here in the last couple weeks. Went into hospice, tried to fight it off the best he could. And he's with the Lord, fearfully and wonderfully made him with the Lord. And just all of you want to, the obituary, I'll stick it in there. If you want to send flowers or maybe even a monetary donation. Michelle and I would like to, you know, you can't plan funerals, can you? Michelle and I would go out there. We can't just one double book this weekend. Can't do it. But I want to make everybody aware of the fact that some of you know Denny, some of you didn't know Denny. And Denny's with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. So we sure appreciate him. Sure appreciate him and his family. Cool. Here's where I want to jump in today. I'm Holy Spirit saying something to me. So that sounds creepy. Listen, folks, I'm just telling you, my sheep hear his voice. And you have got to learn. Look, I'm not trying to make myself out to be something fancy, okay? But I hear from the Lord. And you know what I think? I think you do too. But you have to acknowledge it. And I just paused right there because my spirit man was saying something. My spirit, remember we talked yesterday? What your soul is, your mind, your will, and your emotions? And the Holy Spirit was saying something to my spirit man. And my spirit man was processing what the Holy Spirit was saying to it. And in a moment, then it comes as a thought. This is, folks, this is so, look at the computers. Just look how everything operates around us and understand God created all that stuff. The instant communication, the telecommunication, all that. God created all that stuff. Why would it be so goofy for us to think that the Holy Spirit operates in that same way? Yeah. You log in, he logs in. He sends you text messages. Why would that be so hard to understand that he's using the same system as he's created? In fact, somebody explained this to me. How can you guys get up in the morning and go to your computer and turn it on and click on the link and here we all are? How's this happen? Well, spirit world, man. You say the Holy Spirit's ever present. What happened? Somebody hit a switch and we're in here with all these people, all instantaneously hearing and seeing. I think it has something to do with the spirit realm, to be honest with you. That's God who created the spirit. I'm a little bit off center, aren't I? God who created the spirit realm created the, as soon as I mess with this thing, it'll be the end of, he created the natural world. Nothing new under the sun. Let's see, does it go this way? Hang on. This new multi-million dollar computer doesn't seem to move at all. There, that's better. Sorry, I was off-centered. So I'm gonna dive in here some stuff. I just want to throw this out there to you so that you're prepared. Remember, as we've said, Scripture tells us men's hearts are going to fail them for fear for things that are coming upon the earth. We're in unbelievable times. And I don't care whether you're a rapture guy. Can I tell you as clear as I can make it? I don't care. I don't care. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. And if I think I'm going to be raptured out of here because I'm not going to have to put up with the wrath that's coming upon the earth, do you have any idea right now some of the crap that people are living with in their lives? Some people say it'd be better, be easier to die before the wrath of God comes. Yeah, it probably would be. But friends, you can't live your life being afraid. God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so much fear-mongering going on out there, especially in so many different ways, so many different places. Fear-mongering, fear, lions and tigers and bears, oh my, everywhere you look. But at the same time, we cannot be ignorant of his devices and understand that the evil one is operating because the Bible says he knows his time is short. Now, hang on. What does that mean? Short. He knows his time is short. See, short may mean one thing to me and a different thing to you. I have to be careful with words. Words have meaning. Behold, the Bible says, I come quickly. Quickly. Is that the same as soon? Is quickly the same as soon? Behold, I come soon, or behold, I come quickly? Because quickly has to do with speed. Boy, that guy's quick. Ooh, man, that's quick. Soon, boy, that guy's soon. Man, he's soon. No, they're not the same word. Behold, I come quickly. I think, just guessing, I've never died. I think it probably comes quickly. Don't you think? Your heart stops, boom, that happens quickly, I think. And so we words mean things, and we get lost in the trap of words. Who told you that, and why do you believe them? I'm going to show you some stuff here real quick, just so you know it's coming. Number one, let's see. Folks, there's a real, real debate going on right now. Something's not right with Lindsey Graham's death. Something's not right. I don't know what it is. Something ain't right. We're starting to find out now that the time frame doesn't line up. The timeline doesn't line up. Yada, 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 yada. I got a video. I'm not going to show it to you. But all the discrepancies of all of that. Now, let me ask you something else, because I got in trouble on Facebook. Because I said this. Why in the hell, pardon me, I used that word. Why in the hell would they appoint his sister to his seat? His sister. What is it? Is it like a, is the Senate seat in South Carolina, is that like a Wendy's franchise? You leave it to your sister? And all I ask is, this guy's dead. They picked his sister? What's her qualifications? Why would they pick, well, his wife? Maybe his wife, I would have understood. He doesn't have a wife. Didn't have a wife. So when Lindsey Graham died, help me here. Was that his seat? Was that our seat? And so I made a comment about that. And hey, you ready? I made a comment about that. And you know what they accused me of? Misogynist. Oh, I'm a misogynist. Look, if he wanted to pick his brother, he went. I just said, why in the name of whomever? If it seemed to me, I don't know, I would pick my chief of staff to fill my spot. When I was football coach, I had a big staff. If I couldn't make it to the game, Coach Norm is in charge. Coach Norm, not my wife. No, not my sister. Get my sister to come and coach the team. Folks, there's something going on that we still don't understand. So stay with me, okay? So look, another question. I got some good stuff. Stay with me a minute. Somebody tell me this. What the hell's going on with Mitch McConnell? He's dead. He's not dead. He's alive. He's not alive. This guy spoke to him. That guy spoke to him. It's been a month and we haven't seen the guy. It's been a month and we haven't seen the guy. If he's alive, why isn't NBC4 doing an interview with him? Laying in his hospital bed. Haven't seen him in a month. Something's happening here. And isn't it amazing that they always keep it? Where's Archie Bunker? All in the family. I wonder if Mitch McConnell, I'm sorry. I wonder if Lindsey Graham's sister, who's now sitting in his seat, I wonder if she gets lifetime tax benefits, pay, lifetime pay, pension. Will she now get all that stuff? And then people get mad at me because I simply ask the questions. Okay, what's going on with Mitch? What's going on with Lindsey's sister? What's going on? I don't know. Something's happening here, and what it is ain't exactly clear. I know some of you want to get in here. Hang on a second. Hang on. I'm running down a litany of stuff, and then we're going to jump in there, okay? yeah, Vince. You're right, Vince. Craig, that's right. Okay, now listen. Here's the other thing. Pull up. It says extraterrestrials. Folks, there's a revealing going on. They're going to tell us all of a sudden aliens are real. Look, I'm just telling you, they're going to tell us aliens are real. Now, I pause a second because I'm trying to think how to present this, right? Don't believe everything. Are aliens real? Well, if aliens are real, I believe they are interdimensional, meaning demons. Demons. Now, we know that they're not going to. The government's not going to call them demons. They call them extraterrestrial. Now, terrestrial means ground, earth. Extraterrestrial. So extraterrestrial means beyond earth. We don't know what they are, but they're going to release photos of flying saucers, extraterrestrials. Do they appear? I believe they are real because why? They're interdimensional. They're interdimensional. But what we're seeing, these all of a sudden we're getting these, have you guys been following? You get these camera views. This guy's out. Oh, there's Bigfoot. And he's got him on camera. And oh, my goodness, there's one walking in the woods. Oh, come on. Now, those things, they may be happening. But I'm going to tell you something. They're heading that way, friends. Heading that way. So just be prepared for what that's going to do. Okay, let me see. What do I want to do? Here's where I want to go today. Yes, Lord, is that where I want to start? Yeah. Pull up number 4. Doug Giles. I don't know if you know Doug Giles or not. he's been around a while. That's not, it says Doug Dell. There it is. The American church is spawning wussies, not warriors. We're going to talk about courage today. Bear with me now. I got to look over here to read, okay? Scroll down, Spence. The American church is spawning wussies, not warriors. Check out this. The age of the American Revolution is generation, 1776. James Monroe was 18. Aaron Burr was 20. John Marshall was 20. Alexander Hamilton was 19. James Madison was 25. Thomas Jefferson was 33 years old. George Washington was a ripe old man of 44. And in case you're slow on this uptick, this highlights were remarkably young many for revolutionary leaders. James Monroe was 18. Alexander Hamilton was 19. Aaron Burr was 20. What? The average age of this group in 1776, our founders, the average age was what? 29 years old. We got 29 years old guys now living on their cell phone all day long. The average age, was, I told you that. Regarding the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, the average age was 44. 44. Check this out. The average age was 44. The youngest signer of the Declaration was Edward Rutledge. He was 26. Second youngest was Thomas Lynch. He was 26. The oldest signer was Ben Franklin. He was the old man. He was 70. So the age breakdown, six of the signers were in their 20s. 17 were in their 30s. 17 were in their 40s. Folks, these were young men. These weren't old men. And here's an often misunderstood aside. Many famous revolutionary figures did not sign the Declaration, including George Washington didn't sign it. Alexander Hamilton, he was 19 years old, didn't sign it. Madison was 25, he didn't sign it. Monroe was 18, he didn't sign it. Aaron Burr was 20, and he didn't sign it. John Marshall, can you believe that? Can you imagine 20-year-olds today? Obviously, they became prominent ass-kickers later in the revolution, these other the guys that didn't sign it, or were serving in other capacities. So, hey, so look, if they don't appoint you co-captain, keep playing hard. Keep playing hard. That's the point, huh? I suppose James Madison probably would like to have been able to sign. They didn't care about him, but he kept playing hard. He didn't go home stuck on his thumb. Obviously, they became, okay, although the average signer was 44, more than a dozen signers were 35 or younger. Okay, put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. What has happened to men? What has happened to men in America? Point number seven. I got some good stuff for you. Men in the arena, Teddy Roosevelt. We all know that, don't we? We all know that. And the easiest thing to do, and I'm sorry with my headphones. I learned this through coaching. The easiest thing in the world to do is to criticize the guy that's doing it. Yeah. Say, well, that guy did that right. Shouldn't have run that play. They shouldn't have run that play. And it's so easy to be an expert on the outside. It's a man in the arena. We've all heard this, but I think it's worthy of playing. And so that's why I want to reach out and I want to give a big hug to Dave Allison, and to Randy, to Jeff Klein, and to Claudine, and to Glenn. I can go down the list. I want to give them a big hug. Why? Dude, they're playing. They're in the game playing. They got in the game. And they get all slings of outrageous fortune. People criticize them. They're taking a stand. What did Martin Luther say? Well, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. The man in the mirror, Teddy Roosevelt. Go ahead.
It is not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again, because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms, the great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of high achievement, and who who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat. It is not the critic who counts.
Man, those timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat. I'm trying to prepare you today, I guess. Man up. Hey, man up. I think about the hundreds, thousands, I don't know, people who catch a glimpse of this show every day. Hey, you're the A-team. You're the A-team. Quit waiting on somebody else to do it. You know this, right? They call it woke. But woke isn't the same as awake. You guys are awake. You see what's going on. You're not woke, meaning you understand the liberal side of it. You're awake. Now, I don't care if you're Claudine. I don't care if you're Randy. I don't care if you're Dave Allison. I don't care as I look at my list here on the screen. I don't care if you're just telephone numbers that I don't even know, or Betty Perkins or Bob or Brett White or Cheryl or Christy Henderson or Claudine. I don't care who you are. Get the hell in the game, man. Get in the game. Because look, now, you're awake for a reason. You're awake for a reason. Why did the Holy Spirit wake you up? Folks, woke and awake are not the same thing. Why is it when you lay your head down on your pillow at night, you're consumed with it? Why is it all day, everywhere you go, you're consumed with it? Why is it? What's making you do that? Is it the Holy Spirit? What makes Betty Perkins go out and stand outside, hold a sign? Why? 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 Because something has touched her. And the Lord says, the Bible says, Betty, whatever he says unto you, do. Betty, whatever he says unto you, do. You mean go out and hold a sign? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You mean pick up the phone and call my man? Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. You, yeah. You mean go to the school board and stand up and, yeah, you, whatever he says unto you, do. Because I'm going to show you what happens. You ready? I'm sorry with my headset here. Pull up for me. Number 8. Yeah, David, obedience. Whatever he says unto you, do. How does he say it to me? Holy Spirit, do you hear his voice? Bible said my sheep hear his voice. So you're sitting out there. I'm not making fun of you. Listen, it takes some courage. I'm not making fun of anybody out there. You might be the one in your community. You might be the one. Quit looking around and waiting for somebody else. I love the Faith Hall of Fame. We'll share it with you right here, right now. The Faith Hall of Fame. Somebody tell me something out there. Hang on real quickly. Some sports fan out there. How do you get in the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio? How do you get in the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame in Cooperstown? How do you get in the Hall of Fame? Somebody real quickly explain to me how you get in the Hall of Fame.
Amazing achievements.
Amazing achievements. Amazing achievements. What would it be like when you stand, when all of a sudden you're in that great getting up morning, as they say, up in wherever that would be, and you're at the great white throne judgment, and Vinny comes walking in the room, and all those witnesses, the Bible says, seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. What if Vinny steps into heaven's gate, the great white throne judgment? And everybody there does a standing ovation as Vinny. What if Vinny is the real LeBron James? Not a guy that can dunk basketballs or shoot three-pointers or get a lot of rebounds. What if Vinny steps into eternity and the whole place stands up? A standing ovation. Oh, my God. What if some of you do that? Is the guy sitting beside you at church, is he just getting in by the skin of his teeth? Is he sliding into third base? Is he sliding into home just barely, and the umpire's saying, safe? or is there a parade? You know, we were talking yesterday about Alan Carman. How many babies, somebody help me out. How many babies has Carman saved? Alan Carman, how many? Anybody remember? Come on. Anybody remember?
3,500.
Going to be a standing ovation when they come walking in. I'm going to tell you that. They ain't sliding in. They ain't sliding in. What do they call that? At home plate, the umpire making, woo, just made it. Just made. No. The whole stadium's going to stop when those two come walking in there. Now, faith is a substance. Hang on. Look at that first word. Is that a mistake? Now, faith. Not tomorrow, faith. Not yesterday, faith. Now, faith. Would you like to have now faith? Faith that's needed right now? Now faith. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. You ever hear anybody say to you, oh, yeah, prove it. Prove it. That's evidence. For by it, elders obtain a good report. By what? By faith. Evidence. Evidence. And through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which appear. By faith, Abel's in the Lord's history book. Imagine that, like Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he, being dead, still spoke. And how about Abel? Well, how about Enoch? The Bible tells us. He's translated that he should not see death. The only man didn't die. And he was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Does your life please God? You please God? It's not what, see, so, somebody's lied to you and told you it's a works gospel. No. If you're on the team, you're supposed to block. Or carry the ball, or pass the ball. You're supposed to do something. That didn't work. It's duty. Who wants to put a guy on the football field who won't block? You can be in the huddle, dance around with everybody when the game's won. But without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Because by faith, Noah, when God warned him of things not yet seen, he obeyed. He moved with fear. He made an ark to save his house, by the which he condemned the world. And he became the heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Aren't you glad Noah obeyed? Who was Noah before that, I wonder? You have a doctorate in something? Did he have a doctorate in ark building? By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into the place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed. And he went out. And he didn't even know where the hell he's going. That's what it says right there. He didn't even know where he's going. Waiting for a sign from the Lord. Waiting for somebody else to do it so he could get involved. No. How about 9? Scroll down, Spence. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Sojourn means wandered about. He didn't know where he was going. He was just going. He sojourned in the land of promise, like in a strange country. You ever feel like you're in a strange country? Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. What was that promise? They had the same promise. Because he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And then through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. How'd that happen? I don't know. She was delivered of a child when she was past age. She shouldn't even have been able to have a baby because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore. Hang on. You ready? That's the all-star team. That's the Faith Hall of Fame right there. Go to Cooperstown, you don't see them. But these all died in faith, not only having received the promise. What was the promise? The return of Christ, the incarnation of Christ. They didn't receive the fun. They hadn't received it. They were doing it for something. They weren't getting paid. They were doing it for some future. But they had seen them afar off. They knew it was coming, and they were persuaded of it. Persuaded means you think one way, and now you think another way. And they were persuaded, and they embraced him and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They didn't cling to the earth. They were what? Ambassadors of a kingdom passing through. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Sometimes you got to burn the bridges, burn the boats. Can't go back. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Wherefore, God is not ashamed because that's my boy. He's not ashamed of him. He's not ashamed to say, that's my boy. Because he's prepared for them a city. Man, this is good. And by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he sacrificed his son. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son. So God gave Abraham Isaac and promised him because he was the seed. And then God said, okay, give him back. Give him back. Come on, Adrian. Hey, come on, Abe, give him back. And Abe said, are you kidding me? You gave me him. And whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. And accounting that God is able to raise him up, even from the dead, complete total trust in the Lord, he knew that if God told him to kill him, that God was going to raise him up. Because we serve a good, righteous God. From whence also he received him in a figure. But by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both of his sons and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. In other words, working to the end. Scroll down. And by faith, Joseph, hey, Faith Hall of Fame here, boys and girls. You want to be in that? You want to be in that Hall of Fame? I don't know if we can get in there. I'd like to be in there. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his own bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, they hid him for 3 months because they saw he was a proper child and were not afraid of the king's commandment. Are you afraid of the king's commandment today? You afraid, huh? You afraid of the government? By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. What are you talking about, Willis? Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. How many times in your life said, boy, I wish I had that one. I wish I could do that again. Boy, I wish I could. I wish I could start raising my family again. I wish I could go back. My children wouldn't be so lost. Esteeming, that means honoring, the reproach of Christ's greater riches than treasures in Egypt. They wanted to serve and get the rewards of Christ, not the fleshly stuff, not money and buildings and fame. Nah, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He knew what his reward was going to be. Do you know what yours is? Afraid to go to a school board meeting? Afraid to speak up? You understand the reward you're missing? By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the president or Congress or the FBI. For he endured. What? Endured. Doesn't sound very comfortable. He endured. as seeing him who was invisible. He kept his eye on Christ. Through faith, he kept the Passover, sprinkling the blood, kept all the rules. He destroyed lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith, he passed through the Red Sea, which the Egyptians say to him was going to be drowned. But by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies of peace. Scroll down. By faith, Rahab perished with them. I'm sorry. And what more shall I say? Well, I don't even have time to tell you about Gideon. I'm sorry. These guys did great stuff, but I ain't got time to tell you. Yeah, Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel, all of them. What'd they do? Through faith, they subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. This is our spiritual heritage, folks. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in fight. Are you waxing valiant in fight? Ain't going to make the Hall of Fame. Turn to flight the armies of the aliens. When the aliens attacked, they turned them to flight. They stood up and they pushed back. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. Hey, friends, others, doesn't even tell you their name. They're just others. Others were tortured. Man, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. I don't even know what that means. And others were made fun of, had cruel mockings and scourgings. And yeah, they were thrown in jail and in prison. They were stoned. They were sewn in half. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and best life now, baby. Have my best life now. Of whom the world was not worthy. By the way, we don't know their names, do we? They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. In all these no names, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise. What promise am I losing to my lineage, to my grandsons? And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, did not receive the promise. Why? Because God, having provided some better thing for us, that those who came before us, without us, should not be made perfect. And our job is not to sit here on the blood of these, but to rather, we're supposed to judge those who, that without us, should not be made perfect. Our job, our obligation here on earth is to the next generation. Despite what the television evangelist told you, it's not about you. It's about the next generation, the tag team handoff, the passing down of a lineage, passing down of righteousness. It's up to us, those of us who carry the name of Christ. Our job is to engage the culture, to advance a kingdom. You hearing that in your church? Are you hearing that in your church? I don't think so. How much time I got? Oh, I'm about to make this a two-part. I'm just getting going. I want to be in the Faith Hall of Fame. Hey, call it whatever you want to. I want a standing ovation when I walk into that room. Hey, the standing ovation by all those others who are there in the Faith Hall of Fame. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter in, huh? Come on in here, dude. Man, you fought the fight. Woo-wee! Yeah, oh, man, I watched you. You stood up. You went to that school board meeting, and everybody's looking at you. And they hated you, and you stood up for me. And want you to know, man, we were all watching and we were egging you on. We were cheering. Go, baby. Go, Dave. Go, Dave. Go, Randy. Go. Go, Jeff. Go. Seeing we're encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What if they're watching us? You least like the Lord when you're afraid. All right, catch my breath. Somebody come on in. I needed that for me. I needed that for me. Go on in, Dave.
6 years ago, we started a huddle in Michigan. Anyways, first event we went to, Coach, if you remember, was at the Selfridge Air National Guard. They had an open house to the public, a huge event. And at the entrance to the Air National Guard, there's a roundabout there. That's public property. And, Coach, that was the very first time. And there was nobody there from Pass Assault, but it was through the encouragement of everybody in Pass Assault that I had the courage to go there and hold up signs against the jab because they were trying to give the jab to the all the military. And so, Coach, but what we've seen there is the young people in the military that were going around that roundabout, they were white. That when they seen us with the signs, you got to remember, we're only a couple feet away from that roundabout. We could get really close to hold that sign out where they couldn't help but see it. And the young people were just white-knuckled. I'm talking military people with military uniforms on. They were white-knuckled, holding on a steering wheel, hoping. And those are the people that were just going to the – signed up to the military just so they could get a college education. They didn't go there to fight for the country. You could tell they were scared out of their shoes. Then other people – were giving us the finger, right? Military people with uniforms on were giving us the finger. And that whole event, even though it was greatly encouraging, we had a lot of support from the public, people going around from the general public. They were waving and honking horns. We had one military guy, one officer stop and joined us. One guy with his uniform stopped and joined us. The rest of them, man, they were white. And it gets even better. Military police came out there and tried to throw us off the property, right?
Right.
And that was a great opportunity to stand up for our faith. And we stood up together and we said, he said, I'm calling the police. They said, call the police. We told him, call the police. And the police never showed up because he knew we were in our right. He knew he couldn't throw us out there. But, that's Coach, right. I want to encourage everyone. For me, that was a great moment where it inspired me. I realized I did have the courage. I could do this. And I just want to encourage everyone else. Those are great events to build your courage.
They do. They change it, don't they, Dave? Hey, folks, I want to ask you. I'll be right there, Neil. I want to ask you a question. When on that great getting up morning, when you die, you go stand before the judgment seat of God, Christ. Do you want to slide in safe at home? Close play at the plate. Or you want to walk, march in for a parade. So your salvation, you'll make it. You're saved. You're going to make it. You're going to make it in there at 3 a.m. when everybody else is asleep. And they got a place waiting for you. But Carmen, now, we're going to be prayed when they show up. All of heaven going to be blowing their horn and cheering. Well done, my good and faithful servant. So the question is, you marching in a parade or are you sliding in to home plate? Come on in, Neil.
I find it interesting, you talked earlier about the age of the people who signed the Declaration of Independence. I find it interesting, a parallel to today's culture. Do you think that those young people that came over here and fought for this country to establish the United States of America, do you think the people that they broke away from them looked at them like the way we look at these young people nowadays trying to overthrow this country?
Yeah.
Why doesn't someone just stand up and say, well, why don't you guys just get on a ship and go find some land somewhere and make your country like these young people did? Well, the answer to that is everybody's lazy. But the thing is, I find it interesting. Did the powers that be in England think of these young people establishing the United States of America did they think of them as evil as we think about today's wokesters?
Hey, glad they were leaving, huh? Huh? Glad they were leaving, getting those rabble rousers the hell out of here, man. Maybe. Why did they leave, Dave? I'm sorry, Neil. Why did they leave? Well, they left because they were sick and tired. Bring up the Declaration of Independence real quick. Would you do that for me? The Declaration of Independence. Folks, let's get out of this present state in which we find ourselves. What's it say? When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another, and assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and nature's God entitled. They said, we're going to serve God, not going to serve government. We're going to serve the Lord. We ain't serving some king. A decent respect to the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to this separation. Huh? Well, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, and among them are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And to secure these rights, governments are instituted amongst men. amongst men, I lost my face, deriving their power, just powers from the consent of the governed. And whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it's the right of the people to alter or abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers, such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect the safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer. Huh? Well, we're disposed to suffer while the evils are sufferable. It's not that bad yet. Hang it. We're not that bad. We could be over here. It's not that bad. When a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, the FBI watching everything that they do. It's their right. It's their duty. To throw off such government and to provide new guards for the future security. Such has been the patient sufferance of these colonies, and such is now the necessity which constrains them to alter their former systems of government. The history of the present king of Great Britain, the history of the current American government, is a history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having in direct object the establishment of an absolute tyranny over the states. And to prove this, let the facts be submitted to a candid world. Hey, boys and girls. We've been here before. The whole creation's groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, waiting for God's people to show up. This is a little bit of a subject change. I got 7 minutes. I think it's important that we see this. You ready? Pull up number 3. Different subject. Different subject. You ready? While we cowered in our corner. Yes, massa. Yes, massa. Take that jab. Yes, massa. Yes, yes, massa. I got to go to Wendy's and I can only go there. Yes, massa. I'll take it. Go ahead and play it.
But there has been a study done in Italy. And what this shows is increased incidence of cancers 6 months after COVID vaccinations. And I'm going to give you that now. Just let me give you the main figures here before we look at where we got it from. This is the rate of first hospitalisation of cancer for any site. Now, what these workers did, it was a whole province in Italy, nearly 300,000 people. And they followed these people up for 2.5 years. And what they found was that of that whole group, the unvaccinated, 0.85% of them received a first cancer admission during that 2.5.
Okay, got that? Huh? 0.085 people got cancer before the jab. Go ahead.
Yeah, period. But for the vaccinated, it is 1.5. So a much higher percentage of vaccinated being admitted to hospital after 6 months, during a 2.5 year follow-up, if they'd received the COVID vaccine. And of course, this is real data and quite concerning. So rate of first hospitalization for cancer of any site, unvaccinated group, 0.85% of them were admitted with the first cancer diagnosis. Vaccinated group, a much higher, 1.15% admitted. Based on a population of nearly 300,000 people, hospital admissions with a cancer diagnosis, there was 3,124 people admitted. Vaccinated with at least one dose, people that vaccinated with at least one dose, their chances of getting colorectal cancer, the hazard ratio was 1.34. In other words, 34% more likely to get it. This is at a 6 month follow up. Breast cancer, 54% more likely to get breast cancer in the vaccinated group. Bladder cancer, 62% more likely to get it than the unvaccinated group. Breast cancer, that was after at least one dose of vaccine. After three or more doses, risk of breast cancer actually went down somewhat to plus 36%. And bladder cancer was a 43% higher chance of getting bladder cancer. And all of these results are significant. So all of these are statistically significant results showing increase in these cancers 180 days after the first vaccine, or 180 days after the third vaccine, if they'd had more.
Come on in, Vinny.
Boom. Hey, Coach. COVID was a time bomb. It wasn't expected to kill many people immediately, but you see the long-term effects.
That's right, brother. Huh? Right? Right? And I hate to tell you this. Yes or no? The churches fell in line like little ducks. Quack, 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 quack. Churches opened up their church to jab people. Why?
Money.
They've told you good Christians obey the government.
Fear.
What if the government is wicked? Are we supposed to obey wicked government? So I'm going to tell you this. I got a minute left. It's just beginning. This is just beginning, folks. And I believe in the depth of my heart that the Lord has permitted this to come as a test of faith. Why would anybody, come on now, believe the medical community? Why would anybody believe it? You get the whistleblowers, you get the Paul Goslins and the Sherry Tenpennies. I could go on and on and on and on. Hey, they tried to kill Paul Goslin because he spoke against that wicked pharmakia sorcery. They gave you a shot so you would die 2 years later, and they would never connect the dots that it came from the shots.
Boom.
Man, what a time to be alive. The Faith Hall of Fame. Anonymous people just doing what was right in the time in which they live. It's time we stand up, huh? See you tomorrow.